In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Today it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I'm looking right now at Luke, or shall I say, Mark 2. "And again he entered into Capernaum. After some days, it was said that he was in the house." What house? Peter's house. "And straightway many gathered together, inasmuch as there was no room to receive them." What was Jesus doing? Jesus was preaching the word of God unto them. "And there came unto him, bringing one sick with palsy," or paralyzed. He was borne on a stretcher by four people. And we know what happens. They lower the stretcher in front of Jesus. And Jesus looks at the man and says, "Your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and Sadducees that were there were thinking, "Who is this that has the power to forgive sins? He's a phony." And Jesus said, "Which is it easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk?" He said, "That you might know that the Son of Man has the ability and the favor of God to forgive sins," he says, "be healed, rise up, and walk." And the man got up and held the stretcher and walked and left. I tell you, what was their response of most of the people? "We have never seen anything like this. This is so super. This is so tremendous. This is something that we might read from Moses, but we have never seen anything like this." And I've been thinking about that for a little while. We have never seen anything like this. And I think of the Eucharist, like Jesus Christ the Lord comes, and he gives us his body and blood to eat and to drink. We have never seen anything as powerful as this. But you see, you only can see it through the eyes of faith. You only can see it through the eyes of faith. Faith sees Jesus at Eucharist. I'm telling you, it's true. We have never seen anything like this. Imagine that Jesus Christ, right now, someplace in the world, his death and resurrection are being made present, really. And people might be scratching their head or thinking about something else. In all reality, this is the greatest miracle. We have never seen anything like this if we have faith, because we come to receive him, eat his body, and drink his blood. I tell you, we have never seen anything like this. Just a couple of words on the Eucharist today before I turn to John 17. Verse 10, "All mine are thine, and all thine are mine, and I am glorified in them." Imagine, Jesus is glorified in his people. Jesus is glorified in his people that live by faith. "I am glorified in them." Have you ever thought that Jesus, at the right hand of the Father now, is glorified in you? Have you ever thought that Jesus, the great high priest, whoever lives to make intercession for us, is glorified in you? I don't think we think that way. We think, well, you know, who am I, and what do I have to give God? If we have surrendered our life, Jesus is glorified in us. Jesus is glorified in you. You might not be a perfect person. As a matter of fact, you're not. Neither am I. But Jesus is glorified. He's being glorified now as I preach the gospel, as I preach his holy word. If he doesn't give me the inspiration, I've got nothing to say. Jesus is glorified in me. And you who listen today, I want you to know that Jesus is glorified in you. He is glorified in you because he said, all mine are thine. All mine are yours, Father, and all yours are mine. And I, Jesus the Lord, am glorified in them. That's amazing. That's amazing that Jesus is glorified in us. Verse 11, and now I am no more in the world. He was just thinking that he's going to be ascended after his resurrection. But these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Keep in your presence. Keep in your name those people that you have given me. Remember, we are the gift of the Father to Jesus. We are the inheritance of Jesus, that they may be one as we are one. And I tell you, ever since the first disciple, there has been a conflict of not being one, not being unified. I'm not talking about being unified with people that don't believe in the blood. I'm not talking about being unified with people that don't believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus. I'm not talking that at all. I'm talking that we would be one with believers. You know, even in the Catholic Church, you know, you can have a church that's for Jesus and a part of the church is against Jesus or against these people. We are to be one as Jesus is one with the Father. I remember going to Washington several years ago, and we drove down a street. Yeah, it was really last year or the year before. We drove down a street, and there was every church that could be imagined. Everyone was on this street. I think the name of the street is Church Street, and one church right after the other. And you know what? I bet that there is no unity between them, and I bet that there is no unity even in that Catholic Church, because the devil likes to divide. Remember, God multiplies, he never divides. Jesus' prayer is that we would be one, even as he is one with the Father. We remember the Pentecost event. They were together in one accord with Mary, the mother of Jesus, when suddenly there was a rushing, mighty wind that filled the whole place. They were one, one heart, one body. That's when the Holy Spirit comes, that they would be one as I am in thee and thou art in me, that they would be one in us. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. These that thou gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but Judas, the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So I have kept them in your name. Now I'm leaving here, and I ask you, O God, Father, keep these people, that they would be one, as I am in thee, and thou art in me. So what does Jesus say now? Verse 13, and now I come to thee. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy, and my joy will be fulfilled in them. Jesus, on the night before he dies, prays that they would have the joy of the Lord, that I would have the joy of the Lord. If I ever needed anything for the Christmas season and the Advent season, it's the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is truly our strength. That my joy may be fulfilled in them. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Are you of the world? Are you of the world? Jesus said his disciples are not of the world. I want to tell you that the world can offer me nothing. The world can offer me absolutely nothing. The world is just the place that I preach the gospel. And from the radio waves, people hear and listen. People are healed and are saved. This is reality. That's what my letters say when I get letters from people. I remember the woman who wrote to me, saved at 40. saved at 40 years old. I get letters all the time stating that I am a great encourager to people to stay on the air, praying for my funds to increase so that I can continue to pay my bills. People write to me. And when I write back on a postcard, people tell me they keep all the postcards on the refrigerator. Why? Because from me, they hear the saving word of God. The word of God is like a two-edged sword. The word of God is living and active. The word of God is what we preach. We preach Christ and Him crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from Satan. I pray that you don't take them out of the world. They are the light of the world. Those who belong to you are the light of the world. I have in front of me a little miniature lighthouse. And when I look out at the ocean right now, I see a real lighthouse. But this miniature lighthouse reminds me that Jesus Christ is the great lighthouse, spreading His light through His word and through His sacrament and by the power of the Spirit. I have this lighthouse to remind me that I speak the word of God and Jesus shows light into people that need light. Do you need light today? He says, I pray that they should not be taken out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from Satan, the evil one. Yes, Jesus wants us to be in the world, but not of the world. But I'm telling you the truth. So many people have backed out. So many people have become worldly. They have a Christian veneer, but not a Christian heart. The one who is a real Christian knows that the world has nothing to offer them, that megabucks has nothing to offer them, that the world structure has nothing to offer them, that it is Jesus Christ and Him alone who calls us to stay in the world so that we can witness and proclaim His word, and that He prays that the Father would keep us from the evil one, from Satan. Because He's always around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist Him steadfast in the faith. For I tell you, Peter says, that in these people that are resisting, it is happening like this throughout the world. He's always trying to get people. He's always trying to get God's people. They are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world. Can you say that about yourself? I am not of the world, even as Jesus is not of the world. Can you say that about yourself? Maria Vadia tells us her story that she had how many pairs of shoes and how many diamonds and how many this and how many boats and how many yachts and that she could go buy anything, but she was a pagan. She says, I was a pagan, and I went to church with my miniskirt, looking around to see who was dressed and how they were dressed. She says, I was a pagan. I was a pagan until Jesus touched me, and Jesus called me to be His. And I have never taken that for granted. Now I wear clothes that are suited for Jesus. Now I speak words that are suited for Jesus. You see, she's an evangelist, and she goes throughout the world proclaiming God. At once, she was a pagan. That's her own words. She was a pagan, and she had an abortion. Those are her own words. And she tells women that you can be forgiven by the blood of Jesus, because I was. This is real. They are not of the world any more than I am of the world. Are you of the world? If you are of the world, you have nothing to offer the Lord. If you have reached the end of your rope, hallelujah, Jesus is holding on to the knot. He tells us we are not to be of the world any more than he is of the world. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. We are sanctified through the word of God. Jesus said, if I have not said these things, they would not be responsible. But now I have said these things. Remember, everything Jesus said, he received revelation from the Father to say them. Sanctify them through thy word. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, so have I also sent them into the world. So Jesus commissions us to go into the world and proclaim the gospel. Jesus commissions us to go to the abortion clinics and proclaim the gospel of love, that God wants these children alive. Jesus commissions us to go speak his name to people who will listen and even to people who won't listen. Jesus commissions us. As the Father sent Jesus, so Jesus sends us. And are we open to being sent? Are we open to being sent like a letter that is mailed? Are we open to being sent by Jesus? Or do we just say, oh, well, you know, I'm too old, or I'm too stupid, or I'm too thin, or I'm too fat? No, Jesus commissions us to proclaim his word in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient, to be in the world but not of the world. Jesus said it. He said it. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. The problem by being sent into the world is that it's easy to become like the world. I tell you, the world has evangelized the church and the churches much more than God was able to evangelize through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world is a scintillating place. Remember, the devil took Jesus on top of a mountain and showed him all the lights of the world. And he said, you can have everything, all the glitter, all the megabucks. It's mine to give because I am the master of the world. And Jesus, the only thing you need to do is to bow down before me. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, what? Get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. I am not of the world. I told Satan, what? Get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Jesus said, joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy today is mine. And I told Satan, what? Get thee behind. Joy today is mine. We have been sent. We have been sent. Sent by the Lord himself. We have been sent. We have been sent. We have been sent by God. Victory is mine. Hit it. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. And I told Satan, what? Get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I also send them into the world. And for their sake, I sanctify myself. How will Jesus be sanctified? On the cross. For your sake and for my sake, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified through the truth, through the blood, through the truth, through the word, through the blood. Oh, yes, I will go to the cross for them. I will go to the cross for them. I will sanctify them through my blood and through my word and through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. I tell you, we believe in Jesus through the words of the apostles handed on from generation to generation. And Jesus tells me today, he's praying for you. He's praying for you. You might not feel prayed for, but at the right hand of the Father, Jesus is praying for you. Look up and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you can sing, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Jesus is praying for me. I told Satan, what? Get thee behind. Victory today is mine. I pray for those who believe on me through their word, that they may be one. Here we go again. They were together in one accord with Mary, the mother of Jesus, when the Holy Spirit came. They were of one mind and one heart, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I am in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world might believe that thou hast sent me. How will the world believe that thou hast sent me? By their unity. I'm not talking about a cheap unity. I'm talking about a unity that believes in the blood, a unity that believes in the death of Jesus and of his burial and of his resurrection and of his sending the Spirit. Oh, yes, he calls us to be one people. Again, I take you to Washington, to Church Street. There are about 15, 20 churches there. And I would imagine that the devil has infiltrated people so that they will not be one with each other and not even one with themselves. Oh, yes, that is the ploy of the enemy, to divide us. Remember, God multiplies. He doesn't divide. I'm not talking about a cheap unity either. I'm talking about a unity in the cross of Jesus Christ, a unity in the blood of the Lamb, a unity in the physical resurrection of Jesus, the Lord, a unity in the ascension of the Lord, a unity in the giving of the Holy Spirit. Yes, that they may be one as I am in one with thee, that they would be one in us, that the world would know that I am the one who has been sent. So unity is the experience that the world says that Jesus has been sent. Unity, that they all may be one as thou art, Father, in me and I am in thee, that they may even be one in us. Why? That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. How can the world believe that the Father sent Jesus when we are so divided? Jesus says the unity that we have, it will be the witness that the Father sent Jesus into the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his Son to destroy the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Thank you, Jesus. Through his blood, through his death, through his resurrection, through his ascension. I tell you, unity is how the world perceives Jesus being sent by the Father. And you can see why the enemy likes to divide us, why the enemy loves to divide us. If he could get that unity away from us, I tell you, he is tickled, because the world will not believe that the Lord was sent by the Father, only by their unity. And I'm not saying that we all look alike, that we all dress alike, that we all walk alike. That's not unity. That's uniformity. I'm talking about a unity of heart. I talk about coming into the services and expecting God to do something. How many Catholics come into the service expecting God to do something? Well, we've done this for 37 years. Yeah, but yeah, I told you. We have seen stupendous things today with that man that was lowered through the roof and Jesus healed him and forgave him. We have seen stupendous things today. And I'm telling you, at the Eucharist, we see stupendous things, that the presence of God is here, that Jesus is truly present on the altar, body, blood, soul, and divinity. We have seen stupendous things today. tonight at Holy Rosary. There will be Holy Mass at 7:30. You're welcome to come. I also want to tell you that on the 23rd of December, it's a Sunday, between 3 and 5 o'clock in the afternoon, we will have the live nativity. The live nativity. We have animals, and we'll have the Holy Family, and we'll have shepherds and kings, and we just ask you to come and sing the Christmas carols with us. Nothing to do with Santa, nothing to do with Rudolph. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the King. We celebrate his birth on the 23rd of December at Holy Rosary in Winthrop. Plan on coming to our church and pray the weather is good so that we can present the live nativity and we can see with our eyes something like what happened about 2,000 years ago. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time, and I do need to hear from people, especially people that have been blessed. Please write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Victory is yours. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. We told Satan, what? Get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Jesus said, I have overcome the world, and I have overcome you. Believe it.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.